Despite suffering mass coral bleaching for a second year in a row, the Great Barrier Reef has avoided being placed on UNESCO's in danger list. The decision has been made at the annual meeting of UNESCO's World Heritage Committee in Poland. But UNESCO still has serious concerns about the health of the reef, warning Australia is not on track to meet its targets to improve water quality. The Federal Environment Minister is Josh Frydenberg, and he joins me from Melbourne. Minister, good morning.
Nice to be with you, Kim.
Are you now confident that the Great Barrier Reef will never be put on the in danger list?
You can never say never, but what we can say is the announcement overnight from the World Heritage Committee is a big win for Australia and a big win for the Turnbull government. We've received a strong endorsement that our Reef 2050 plan, which is a coordinated, integrated effort with the Queensland government to spend $2 billion on enhancing the resilience of the reef, is working. We're reducing the nitrogen and the sediment runoff. We're tackling the crown of thorns starfish, which is a natural predator to the coral. And we're taking every action possible to ensure that this great wonder of the world stays viable and healthy for future generations to come.
It's not all good news, though. UNESCO says water quality targets aren't expected to be achieved within the current timeframe. So what will you do to address that?
Well, we will seek the advice of our independent scientific expert panel. We have a meeting coming up next week in Brisbane, where I'll be discussing with my Queensland counterpart how we can improve water quality. We have a number of major investments underway, and by reducing the nitrogen and the sediment runoff, by improving the gullies and the land management practices of the graziers and the sugarcane farmers, we can improve the water quality.
Well, you're talking
there
about,
is a lag, though, Kim, between when the investments are made and when the results are being seen.
You're talking about land management there, and UNESCO has also noted that land clearing laws haven't been introduced. The Queensland Labor government hasn't been able to get them through Parliament. Will you encourage your LNP colleagues in Queensland to drop their opposition to those laws to allow them to pass?
Look, these are matters for the Queensland Parliament and
but it's important
the Queensland
for the Reef 2050 plan.
Well, we at the federal level have particular powers around the Environment Protection, Biodiversity and Conservation Act when it comes to land clearing.
We'll but do you have some powers of persuasion over your LNP colleagues in Queensland?
Well, look, those are matters for the Parliament, and obviously you need to balance a whole range of interests to ensure sustainable development together with the protection of the environment. But what we can celebrate this morning is an endorsement by the World Heritage Committee of what Australia is doing to protect the reef. Of course, coral bleaching has been significant, but we've also seen the health of the reef being encouraged in the years leading up to the most recent bleaching event. And what we have done at the federal and state level is to ban dredging in the marine park, and that's what we inherited, unfortunately, from the Labor government, as well as a series of other improvements to the management of the reef.
Okay, if I could ask you to put your energy minister's hat on, Wood Mackenzie, the mining research and consultancy group, says the mining of the Galilee Basin in Queensland will come at the expense of coal regions in New South Wales and other parts of Queensland. It says new mines will be shelved and hundreds of jobs will be lost. What's your response?
Well, my response is that globally, the demand for coal is actually increasing. There is 1,600 coal-fired power plants either being built or being planned across 62 different countries. Now, Australia's coal is low in sulphur and low in ash, whether it's coming from the Hunter Valley or indeed from the Galilee Basin, and is going to continue to be sought after. It's our second largest export. The Adani mine and other mines like it can create thousands of jobs, particularly for the regions of Townsville, Mackay, Rockhampton, Hewarden, where there has been higher unemployment. And I do point out that the Labor Party's Shadow Assistant Minister for Energy, Pat Conroy, has welcomed the jobs for Queensland that come from Adani, and I say the same.
We've just heard that the British billionaire Sanjeev Gupta is hoping to buy the Whyalla Steelworks, and he's a supporter of renewable energy. He says he'd like to invest in pumped storage hydroelectricity in South Australia. Could he be the answer to that state's power problems?
Well, pumped hydro is a major priority for the Turnbull government, and you've heard of Snowy Hydro 2.0, the work we're doing with the Tasmanian government to improve the opportunities there, but also in South Australia. We have a project where there's a study underway in the Upper Spencer Gulf area, and of course we would welcome further investment in pumped hydro. It provides 97% of storage for renewables, and we've seen in the year 2016 a fivefold increase on the prior year of investment in renewables. So of course we welcome greater investment from foreign investors like Mr. Gupta.
On other matters, does the man the Prime Minister now won't even name, Tony Abbott, need to leave the Parliament?
Tony Abbott was elected by the people of Rohingya at the last election, and he deserves his place in the Parliament, articulating the best interests for his constituents.
Well, he says he's helping. Is he more of a help or a hindrance?
Well, Tony Abbott has to ask one simple question. His constant critiquing of the government, who's benefiting most, who's most encouraged by those comments? Is it the party members who want to see a continuation of the Liberal government? The answer is no. Is it my parliamentary colleagues who want to see them retain their own seats and the government stay in office? The answer is no. Is it the Australian people who want to see a government talk about how we're boosting funding for education and health, infrastructure and people with disabilities, as well as protecting their national security? The answer is no. Or is it Bill Shorten, the alternative Prime Minister? And he's the one who's benefiting most, unfortunately, from Tony Abbott's constant interventions.
All right. Josh Frydenberg, thank you very much for speaking with AM.
Nice to be with you.
That's the Federal Environment and Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg.